Oh, hey, friends, this sale's for you. The DSW Friends and Family event is on. DSW VIP members get 25% off almost everything in stores and online for a limited time. Don't miss out. This only happens twice a year. Not a VIP? You're still family to us. Join for free to get in on the savings. Plus, VIPs always get free shipping on anything. Save on must-own shoes today when you shop the DSW Friends and Family event at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Someone said that an item in the Houston Hall of Excellence Museum that Seth and I are starting up, Mario Ellie's finger from The Kiss of Death, just cut it off and put it in the museum. I don't
just think, the finger?
Just the finger. Well, he's actually a two-finger kiss to Joe. Yeah. Joe Klein was the Phoenix Suns player who was on the business end of that. So you'd have to cut off two fingers, I think.
We can't afford both fingers.
Yeah.
Just one finger would suffice.
Yeah.
And you leave Mario Ellie with the less important. I guess the middle finger is less important than the index.
I don't know, man. Depends on how angry you get sometimes. Sometimes you need that middle finger, you know, just to let people know how you feel.
Well, yeah, and then you're stuck. You lose one finger.
And it's not really your middle finger anymore.
Yeah. Right.
Your ring finger. Yeah, no, it's we're not going to do any – no – dismemberment, no chopping off, no amputations going on here, all right? Oh, this is a good one, and we're going to get to take a mania here in 2 seconds. Altuve's sock and shoe from that ejection. Remember the ejection in
that
game?
Oh, when he took his clothes off?
Took his shoes and socks
disrobed?
Off. He took it. I just Googled this during the break. Because I remember him doing it. I'm like, what were the circumstances? Did he get beamed on the foot? He fouled a ball off his foot. And it rolled into fair play, and he got thrown out, and it should have been a foul ball. When you foul it off your foot, it's automatically a foul ball. And they called it a live ball, and you can't review that play. So Altuve takes his shoe and sock off to show, like, you know, whatever welt was on his foot from fouling it off his foot. And the umpire took it the wrong way, quite honestly. I think Altuve is just trying to help out, you know, and he gets thrown out of the game. I don't think he was showing anybody up. Come on. I'll say Altuve doesn't do that.
We have a canister of – I could go find my canister of spider tack, remember, which I never actually used for anything.
Yeah, where
is it? It's floating around here somewhere. I don't know, but it's a hazard.
Yeah.
I don't want one of my nephews getting into it.
I don't know where it is, but Brandy's got a spin rate of over 2,000 all of a sudden now. Yeah, it's crazy. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you here. Let's do Take a Mania. 9 o'clock segment every Friday, the worst takes of the week. And we do this WWE style. There's a defending champ. I think this is our first multi-week defending champ since Angelo Cataldi held the title for about 2 months with his take about Andy Reid. Andrew Perloff of the Infinity Sports Network, he and Maggie Gray do the show, the national show that comes on before ours on this station. Former Danette, former part of the Dan Patrick Show. He's co-host of the morning show on Infinity Sports Network. And this will be his third week with the belt right now, Seth. If he gets, you know, we'll see. He's going into damn near a month. This was Andrew Perloff the day after game one of the second round of the Western Conference playoffs in the NBA, in which Steph Curry pulled a hamstring against the Minnesota Timberwolves and limped off the court during game one. This was Andrew Perloff's take on Steph Curry's possible usage throughout the rest of this series.
You guys don't think that Curry has any chance to come back from this? I mean, we've all had little hamstring pulls. They're
the
tough.
Amount that he runs and how he has to move throughout a game, I don't
What are you talking about? He goes from the top of the three-point line on one side to the top of the three-point line on the other.
Constantly moving.
That cannot be further from
moving on offense is easy. Moving on, I mean, they'll hide him on defense. All he has to do is hit a bunch of threes.
Ask Reggie Miller and Klay Thompson, guys who do that stuff, the kind of conditioning they do. It's grueling. It's like that is very hard. It's terribly hard on the defenders to cover those guys because they're in better shape than them.
As a former big man in high school, I'll tell you right now, the guards don't do crap. They're running 40 yards.
Give me a break.
And Steph, running on offense doesn't count. It doesn't. Anybody can run around and get a shot.
He was like the most well-conditioned guy in the NBA because of all the stuff he did off the ball. Like, this could not be more wrong.
Well, regardless, though, I mean, I think like he can be effective in a different way because he can hit a shot. Like. He's a hamstring injury. If it's John Morant and he has an injury, as we saw, that's bad. But Steph can be effective a little bit, right? Like, you still have to watch out for Steph. I don't care if he has one functional leg.
Okay. I mean,
I don't know if anybody's ever going to beat him because of the density of bad takes within that minute of audio.
Yeah.
Every single thing that comes out of his mouth, is a horror. Would could be the worst take of the week on its own.
Yes, that's seven bad takes.
And he just does it time after time after time. The only thing I could excuse him for is that I'm pretty sure he was joking about his high school career.
That part I agree
with. And all of that. Yeah. But it's even hard to give him credit for the joke because the other takes were so bad within that take.
Yes, yeah. The one that gets me, and it's kind of a throwaway in the whole thing, all he's got to do is hit a bunch of threes.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Which is why we're telling you, have you watched the way he gets all those threes? Like, all he has to do is hit a bunch of threes. Do you think teams are out there really just on normal days to be like, well, why guard him? He's just gonna hit a three. No.
You and I tried to give him a chance at least at one point during this thing. We're like, all right, what if Steph just camps out in the corner? And you at least have to acknowledge
that
he's out
there. You got to devote somebody to
him
at least,
right?
Yeah,
you have to at least acknowledge he's sitting there in the corner. But like, and then I think you and I are both like, nope, that's stupid. That would never happen in an NBA game.
When people are trying like hell to act like the strategy of James Harden standing at half court was all about creating 4-on-4 opportunities.
Right.
And no, that dirty era of our history where people were adamant that this is just smart basketball. If your best basketball player doesn't actually want to play basketball
in
Houston anymore.
That's right. All right, we've got three audio contestants. The champ will never be a written tweet because this is an audio segment, but I wanted to bring this to the forefront just, and I felt like this was the right segment to do. So I just, real quick, this is something I'm going to ask people to not do. You can take up for Jalen Green of the Rockets all you want. That's fine, and I'm kind of middle of the road on Jalen Green. Really loved his improvement this year. Really hated his postseason. Don't do what this @AssadNBA did, this person on X, where he's comparing Michael Jordan's age 22 season to Jalen Green's age 22 season and tweeting it out. It's a graphic where Jalen Green does have some stats that were better than Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan's got a bunch that were better than Jalen Green. The implication being this. Age 22 season, imagine if the Bulls had traded him, being Jordan, rather than finding him a co-star. We have our Jordan. We just need to trade for a Scotty to pair with him. Stop.
Yeah. The problem with that comparison, if you just look at it casually, is that it fails to really point out or emphasize that Michael Jordan played 18 games that year.
Yeah, he had a broken foot.
Played 25 minutes per game. Yeah. So it wasn't anywhere close to what he had done in his rookie year or in his third year.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, I'm not buying that Jalen Green is the next Michael Jordan.
Yeah, no, I'm not either. And this may be, I don't know how old this particular person on Twitter is, but this is truly one, not to go boomer on you. Like, this is truly one where, like, if you're making this comparison, what I would tell you is find a time machine, go back to the mid 80s and understand how iconic Jordan's 23 points a game were and his 46% field goal percentage and everything he was doing on defense and whatnot.
Yeah. Well, no, but the fact of the matter is that those numbers right there are substantially lower than every other season that he had when he was a young player. He was an injury riddled 18 games that season. He only played 25 minutes per game.
Yeah.
You know, where he was up around 39, 40 for most of his career.
Yeah.
So it's not even close. It's not a fair comparison.
It's not. Whatsoever. You're rigging it kind of with that. And plus Jalen Green's, he's not Michael Jordan. Sorry. He's not Michael Jordan. Okay. Get him a Scotty. What are we doing? Stop. All right. So that
the other one, though, the really glaring difference there in the era is the 3-point percentage. Okay, Jalen Green's got a better 3-point percentage than Michael Jordan because they didn't really shoot threes.
They hardly shot him. Yeah. Jordan was fine by the time the 90s rolled around. All right. So here are the audio ones, and these are all ones we've played this week on the show. So here we go. This was a short one here. Ryan Clark amidst the Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese. The whole thing this week, Ryan Clark took it to a whole other level. We're not going to dig into the part where Ryan Clark is going after RG3 and all that. That's their thing. This was a bad take amidst that whole dust up.
I think Asia Wilson is the face of the league. Asia Wilson is the best player in the league. Caitlin Clark is the most important player in the WNBA.
Okay, you're just trying to get cute. That's a bad take. Caitlin Clark's the face of the league. What are you talking about? That game got 3 million viewers this past weekend, the Caitlin Clark Angel Reese game, because of Caitlin Clark.
I give him a pass on this one. He doesn't knock off Perloff because at least I saw what he was trying to do there.
Yeah.
He could have used different verbiage in terms of, okay, Wilson is the more impactful or what have you. Or you could call her the MVP on the court, whatever it might be. But it's the face of the league when it comes to like actually getting eyeballs to the WNBA. Caitlin Clark has driven it like very few other athletes can.
Through the roof. Yeah, absolutely. All right. So Perloff kicks out of that one. Yeah. I anticipated that. All right. So number two. This is Boogie Cousins, former All-Star, former Rocket at one time, with just a horrific trade proposal, talking about the Dallas Mavericks, and they have Cooper Flagg. Now, the voices you're going to hear leading into Boogie Cousins are those of Michelle Beadle and Chandler Parsons, and they're kind of talking about Dallas having this first pick. And the lead-in, they're talking about Giannis and trading Cooper Flagg for Giannis, which is a whole separate conversation than where Boogie Cousins chooses to go with this.
Does Nico keep that pick? Does he keep that pick or what? What you think?
Okay, you can package that, PJ, hey, some other guys, Gafford to Milwaukee.
Cooper's the unknown technically.
Now we got Giannis back in play.
So you... Done. I mean...
Here's Boogie.
This is a Price is Right moment.
Kevin Durant wouldn't be a bad move there either with that number one pick, so...
But would you would get rid of a young Cooper Flagg for Kevin Durant? No, because I'll be honest, I get because he's young.
Nico's already on record saying it's a 3-year window as far as winning the championship.
True,
so Cooper Flagg doesn't fit that window. A Kevin Durant does. So I absolutely think he'll trade that number one pick. I think that's an option.
Okay, so he thinks he's absolutely trading the number one pick at the end there, but
it's absolutely an option.
It's absolute, and it is an option. He thinks it's happening that they're going to trade the pick. The proposal to trade him for Kevin Durant straight up, is silly.
It's a silly, but this is also, you could tell he's kind of just workshopping this on a podcast. It's really hard to get this. It's really hard to win Take-A-Mania on a podcast.
Yeah,
because a lot of the worst takes on podcasts are. People genuinely just kind of spitballing and throwing something out there. Yeah, it's not like he got ready for a 90-second TV segment and came in and just delivered it like hellfire that this is the trade that's going to happen.
Yeah.
So no, he does. He does not win.
Doesn't knock off Perloff. I'm with you on that one. Bad trade proposal, but that does not top. The opinion that you basically don't need hamstrings on offense in the NBA.
That all Steph Curry does is stand around and shoot up wide open threes. Yes. Yeah. And you don't need a hamstring for that.
Last one. This is Monica McNutt of ESPN who, talking about the Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese dust up, had a take at the very end of what you're going to hear. Imagine if it had been the other way around, what the talk would have been.
Anytime something happens with the two of them, one is automatically put as a victim and one is automatically put as someone who needs to be saved. When in reality, both are excellent competitors. They both said this was a basketball play. Now, Greeny, let's be honest. If this was the other way around, oh, Lord, you can only imagine how the conversation would have gone.
We don't have to imagine. Angel Reese has waylaid Caitlin Clark several times in WNBA. Like, she's popped her hard. We can go find the footage and then see what the reaction was.
Yeah, and honestly, yes, I'm not going to say that all the discourse around everything wouldn't be irrational and heated and what have you, but I think just as it's been in this case, people who actually watch basketball would say, well, it was a hard foul, but it's nothing like some of the stuff that Angel Reese has been pulling.
Correct.
Like, if Angel Reese were the one committing the hard foul, they would have said, like, all right, well, and yes, it would have blown up and it would have been irrational and everything. But this is the wrong situation to play the old, well, what if the roles were reversed here in this situation?
I understand that there's going to be crazies on either side of this thing. I totally get that. My whole thing in bringing it up is she acts like that's never happened before. Like the reverse has never happened. I'm like, no, there's sizzle reels of it happening several times since the two got into the league together. You know, that's and yet, I feel where this is going. Not good enough to knock off.
Doesn't supplant Perloff.
Yeah, I told you this was. I mean, not the strongest group of bad takes for this week. Like, not a lot of great challengers. And Perloff is, Perloff is a worthy champion right now.
Yeah, he'll be. It's going to take something special, especially because we're in kind of a slow time in sports.
Yeah,
I'm really banking on the NBA to bring something. Bring something to the table, okay?
No kidding, man. Get it. Let's go. Let's go. All right, getting a lot of texts in for what people want in our Houston Hall of Excellence / Wax Museum. Janet Jackson's boob getting another vote here on the text page. Oh, the Buddy Ryan and Kevin Gilbride fight.
Oh, the
Wax Museum reenactment of that.
the rabbit punch that, that Buddy Ryan did.
Was it?
Yeah, Buddy Ryan punched Gilbride. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, yeah. Sunday night.
And Gilbride looked like, it just you didn't even respect me by punching me with an actual forceful punch.
Yeah, I felt bad for Gilbride because that's one of those things that follows you around forever after that. Like more because Kevin Gilbride, the average football fan didn't really know who the average football fan probably didn't know. I'm not talking about Houston Oilers fans. I'm talking just about the average person watching that Sunday night football game on ESPN. Probably, you know, didn't know who Kevin Gilbride was. For the rest of their lives, Kevin Gilbride is the guy that got sucker punched by Buddy Ryan on a sideline. A picture, a big picture of the Be Someone sign with that author's signature. I would say the Be Someone sign could be like sort of the gateway entrance into it, maybe. You know, paint the Be Someone.
Oh, that's a good one, yeah.
You know, like that could be the entrance into it.
Little wax Be Someone bridge.
You're getting props for bringing up Judge Hoffines. The more I read about him, I don't know how he doesn't have a movie about his life. That's from Brent in the Heights.
It really is. It's one of those, I don't know, it feels to me because it happened back in the 70s when things were really wild and crazy in Houston. I feel like whatever we already know about Judge Hoffines, let's just leave it there. Yeah. Nobody needs to go in and do a deep dive into anything, okay? No. We don't need to know every little detail, all right? Fun, happy guy, had a good time.
Innovator.
Built the Astrodome.
Innovator, yes. Innovator, just guy.
I'm on a very surface level. I only want to know the barest surface level good things about notable names of the past.
Innovator, game changer, Judge Hoffines, yes. Okay, how about a ZZ Top commemorative display? I'm going to take it a step further. I want ZZ Top announcing the pick of Seth Payne in the expansion draft.
Iconic moment in. Yeah, yeah. ZZ Top introduced me. And I was inaccurately quoted in the paper as saying that because I said that ZZ Top introducing me was one of the coolest things that's ever happened to me because I didn't expect it. I walked up on stage and there was ZZ Top.
Oh,
yeah.
That's awesome. I forgot about that.
And that turned into Seth Payne said that being drafted in the expansion draft was the greatest thing that's ever happened to him.
And that's when you knew the media in Houston was a gotcha media.
Power. I was like Rocky. I was outside of my kid being born.
Did you?
This is the greatest day in the history of my life.
History of my life. Yo, Coughlin, I did it.
I did it. You guys thought I couldn't get drafted in the expansion draft. Here I am.
Oh, my God.
Let them tell you, what you can and can't do, kids.
Did people,
ninth pick.
The internet was a thing at that point, but there was no social media back then.
Yeah.
Did you, that quote had to have made it back to people in Jacksonville. Did you get texts or calls from people?
I didn't get anybody. No, because I think it was in the Houston Chronicle. Oh, okay. I don't know who wrote it up or whatever.
So people
it was.
Weren't actively surfing around finding.
I don't know. I didn't read the comments or anything. Yeah.
It's so good. It is so good. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you.
That's a tough one, though, because you don't want to come out and clarify. Hi, Houston. Yeah, real happy to be here. But just to clarify, that was not the greatest moment in my life, okay?
Let me be clear.
I'm sure you're all great people, but that was not the greatest moment of my life.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. College football playoff, shifting gears for a second, did something yesterday kind of out of nowhere that makes, I think, a ton of sense, something that the NFL actually failed to do earlier this week. We will talk about that coming up next.
Oh, hey, friends. This sale's for you. The DSW Friends and Family event is on. DSW VIP members get 25% off almost everything in stores and online for a limited time. Don't miss out. This only happens twice a year. Not a VIP? You're still family to us. Join for free to get in on the savings. Plus, VIPs always get free shipping on anything. Save on must-own shoes today when you shop the DSW Friends and Family event at your DSW store or DSW.com.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Marvin Zindler's slimy ice machine, an item Houston Hall of Excellence Wax Museum. With Marvin Zindler standing next to it, this is what I would do, like a wax museum robot yelling, Marvin Zindler, eyewitness news.
I sat next to Marvin Zindler's granddaughter on a flight once, and she was surprisingly just completely normal. She was.
We say that lovingly, okay? Marvin Sindler's an icon. We say that lovingly.
No, he was, but he had kind of a flair to him.
Did he
that
ever?
Was different. Yeah,
did he?
I kind of. I was skeptical of her at first when she was claiming she was Marvin Sindler's granddaughter, but then I thought that would be a weird thing for a random stranger to claim.
It would be a strange one.
And then she was definitely his granddaughter, but she was very pleasant.
That's funny. We'll read some more of these. The treadmill Moises Alou tore his ACL on in the Houston Hall. So this is Houston Hall of Excellence is really just more of a label than it is actual literal here, because we're starting to get some
more
things.
More a hall of.
Ain't
notoriety.
So excellent. Yeah, yeah. Getting some things that ain't so excellent getting sent in. But noteworthy, things I would be interested in seeing in a museum for sure.
Some of the guys from the, you know, I'd like to see the disco gear from the guys in the 70s too.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of, I think there's a lot of retro 70s stuff from all those teams. When you get around with some of the older guys and they're telling us stories about the 70s, it was just, Houston sounds like it was incredible in the 70s. Because it was growing like crazy, and it still had even like more of a real, you know, down-home Texas vibe to it. And you had anything that people were partying with or that hadn't been made illegal but yet. And it was just, it sounded kind of crazy.
I need a wax museum, just army of Rudy Tomjanovich, Calvin Murphy, Dan Pastorini, you know, who Jose Cruz, Larry Durker, Cesar Cedeno, all just not in their uniforms, all in polyester, buttoned down to the middle of their stomach, chains, disco gear, platform
shoes. Remember the
shoes?
Old story? Yeah, this moved into the 80s, but the story about the Houston team. Dang it, I'm blanking on the Houston USFL team.
The Gamblers. The Gamblers.
Thank you, the Gamblers.
Yeah, the Gamblers.
That they had a big syringe, like a big mock-up syringe in the center of the locker room.
Yes.
Because the steroid use was so rampant on all those USFL teams back then.
Yeah.
If somebody could dig that out of their rec room and bring it in.
That would be great. That would be phenomenal. Dude, that USFL 30 for 30 is, if you like the documentaries, the 30 for 30s, that one's a top tenner for me. The USFL one, what a wild league. What a wild league that was. So the college football playoff folks yesterday, kind of out of nowhere, get a press release, change with the college football playoff. And this is the wild thing about this. Swift change with college football now is the norm. It took decades to get the powers that be to agree to put two teams on a field for a championship game with each other. They voted on the winner of the national championship all the way up until the mid-90s. The college football playoff, the 12-team playoff last year, I feel like the only big complaint, Seth, about the 12-team college football playoff, you and I were both fans of it, but the one big complaint was the rule that they had giving the top four conference winners a bye to the second round. The 5 through 12 teams all played on-campus first-round games, seeded 5 through 2, the way you'd normally see teams 5 through 12, and then they fed from that round into a quarterfinal round against these four conference champions who got a bye. Here's the problem that occurred last year. Only really two of the conference champions were worthy of a bye. Oregon won the Big Ten. That's worthy of a bye. Georgia won the SEC. That's worthy of a bye. Boise State won the Mountain West. They were a really good team with Ashton Gentry on the team. They were not worthy of being the third. They were barely worthy of being the 10th best team in this thing, let alone the third. Arizona State similarly won the Big 12. And I will give Arizona State credit that they did give Texas all they could handle in that quarterfinal game. That was one of the best games of the year. But it was such that it was a massive reward to be seeded either 6th or 7th in this thing, because fifth or sixth in this thing, because you were going to feed right into what a game where you were going to be heavily favored in the next round.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just screwed the seating all up. Yeah. So they said they got rid of that.
Sense. So you're going to get 5 conference winners that get in automatically. 5, the top 5. So presumably the Power 4 plus the Mountain West or some other conference. They're going to get in automatically. There's going to be 7 at-large teams that are picked by a committee, and then they'll be ranked 1 through 12, and you're going to seed based on that. This is very similar to the rule that the rule change the NFL walked away from this week with their playoff, where the 4 division winners have always gotten the top 4 seeds, and then the wild card teams are seeded below them. it had been proposed initially that they change it to where the four division winners get into the playoff, but you seed by record. This is a version of that, except you're seeding by the opinion of the selection committee, basically.
This is, and it's also just one more step on the way to 16 teams.
I think so too. Yeah,
I would guess. I mean, when they first expanded the playoffs, it was, oh no, it'll be 2030 before we talk about expanding it again. And I wonder if at least part of it too is that with NIL, it feels like there's no resistance from people saying, well, you can't have these kids play all these games.
There's less, I think, for sure.
Now they're treating them more like professional athletes.
There's
that
less.
They are.
Yeah.
The weirdest thing about the bowl system forever was that people were clinging so desperately to this notion that you had to have these poorly attended lackluster bowls as something that still mattered for God knows what reason.
Yep.
When in every other sport in America and around the world finishes with a tournament.
Yeah.
And like it doesn't have to be this complicated.
Yeah, and they were able to compromise. I mean, the bowls are part of this thing. The big bowls are. So there's a middle ground everybody found.
Well, right. No, it made the more – I didn't understand why the bowls wouldn't be all for it. Because it makes the bowl game a lot more meaningful.
Yeah, those big ones. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So we'll see. I'm with you. I think it's going to 16. I don't know how I feel about that yet. I do like this move. Look, selfishly, I like this move because Notre Dame can now get a bye. You know, they're not in a conference, so they weren't eligible to be one of the top four conference winners. So they, you know, if they're undefeated, they'll be one of the top four seeds. Although that was
cry me a river, Lurie.
No, hey, yeah.
Oh, poor Notre Dame. Always
been held
just,
down for years. I don't want to hear it from you. I've been held down for years. It's finally some justice served in this thing. Hey, shifting gears here real quick. Alex Earl is going to be on Dancing with the Stars, huh? Alex Earl, girlfriend of Texans wide receiver Braxton Berrios. So we've got our new celebrity out of training camp.
We've got one of the weirder, huge profile, I know a lot of people listening don't know who Alex Earl is because I didn't know who she was. Until,
I didn't either.
Until the Texans signed
Braxton
Berrios. Until
I saw Jesse Watt, one of the DJs on Mix 96.5 going crazy about signing Braxton Berrios. Yeah.
She's huge. She's a huge social media influencer. She's got like 8 million Instagram followers and 3 million TikTok or vice versa, whatever it is. She's gigantic.
She's ginormous.
In some circles.
Yeah.
Just not my circle.
Yeah.
But she's not on the same level of a Kardashian, but I feel for the modern, like the time in which we live, she might be as big as a Kardashian, given that social media followings matters so much. But she's one of the most notable wives and girlfriends of a Houston athlete outside of Verlander and
Jonathan Owens and Simone Biles.
Yeah, you know, Jonathan Owens and Simone Biles might be the other big one. Yeah.
Simone is a global star for sure, as is Kate Upton. 7.5 million followers on TikTok, 4.3 million on Instagram. And I'm really going to need to work on both of those platforms to catch her.
You should do a team up with her on a joint project.
Or go after
a collab.
A collab. Yeah, the kids call it a collab. I should either go for a collab, or if she won't collab, then I need to point out how selfish she is for not collabing with me. I need to punch up, you know? Maybe
she doesn't care about Houston.
Right. Maybe she'll come down to my level and pull me up. That would be great.
I don't know if this is the thing. From a Texan standpoint, I don't need her to be paired up with like the best looking, best dancing, a completely heterosexual male on Dancing with the Stars.
Right.
I don't want Braxton Berrios to be thinking about his girlfriend off, dancing with a better dancer than she's ever danced with her entire life for long, sweaty 8-hour practice sessions while I'm out playing football.
Especially if he's going to be returning punts. That is a position of extreme concentration. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know him looking up at the ball, looking down at the people coming to him, and then all of a sudden in his head pops this image of his girlfriend Alex Earl in this twisted pretzel dance routine, you know?
Yeah. We're looking up in the stands and seeing Sergio flirting with her, laughing about some joke he just told.
Yeah.
Right before the punt. No, we don't need this.
Speaking of Simone Biles, this list, Matt Young is the one who has this article in the Chronicle about this. She's only Alex Earl is just the second one to be named here. The first one was wildlife conservationist Robert Irwin, who is the son of the late Steve Irwin. He's the crocodile guy, right? Steve Irwin was? He got stung.
You're the crocodile hunter.
Crocodile hunter. Yeah. This is his son. So just the two of them have been announced so far. Earl will join others with Houston ties who've competed on the show, including Clyde Drexler, I need to research this this weekend and see how all these people finished. Clyde Drexler, Simone Biles, who we just mentioned, Mary Lou Retton. Okay, so the gymnast community, very good in the Dancing with the Stars. Jacoby Jones.
Yes.
Although he was a Baltimore Raven when he went there. We had rejected Jacoby Jones. And then we had.
Can't use him. No place for him.
Yeah.
Get him out of here.
He had a ball bounce off his face. A punt. And that was over.
Yeah.
Dwight Howard. God, Dwight Howard. 6'11" on Dancing with the Stars. And Danny Amendola was on Dancing with the Stars. So not as a Texan, I don't think. I'm guessing that was as a New England Patriot back then.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
Yeah.
I wonder, Jacoby Jones, I think, didn't he do well? I think his personality really shone through. I don't know how well he did in the actual competition, but it seemed like he was a very braceable in personality.
I'll look it up during the break. All right, final segment.
He plays third.
Jacoby
did? And Karina Smirnoff. Yeah.
That's a Dancing with the Stars name right there. Mm-hmm. Chris, a lot of Russian names. All right, final segment coming up. Couple things. We'll take a look. Okay, looking ahead, Astros this weekend. Lay it out. How do we think this is going to happen? We're off to a really, really good start with the Mariners. And in watching these Western Conference Finals, it has me thinking about something with the Rockets that I'm very excited for if the Rockets can make the improvement they need to this year. We'll talk about that as well. We'll find out what the guys got going on In the Loop today, what the question of the day is. We'll do all of that coming up next.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Good point by a texter. Y'all, me and Seth, this is a texter talking. Y'all need to discuss hardcore whether or not Christian Walker is in the circle of trust. You guys discussing Altuve yesterday woke him up last night. That's true. I would give us, Altuve hits two home runs last night, just hours after Seth and I left him out of the very first Payne and Pendergast circle of trust of the 2025 season. I would say you and I get probably 85% credit for those two home runs last night.
That's fair, I guess. Yeah, I could go down to 85%.
85%? I mean, there's other elements in there. I don't care to mention them by name or give them any attention because we deserve all the attention. But we were probably 85% responsible, I would say.
We kind of joke about, because we've done this a couple times with Alex Bregman, where we finally booted him out of the circle of trust, and then he immediately turned it around. I mean, some of that is, with Altuve, Bregman, guys like that, we're so reluctant to push them out that just by random chance, because they are great baseball players, it's going to come around sometime for them. And so, all jokes aside about the circle of trust being the cause of him coming out of his slump, there was no part of me that thought Altuve was going to continue having the same numbers over the course of the second two-thirds of the season. Now, I don't know if he's definitively out of his slump right now, but at some point it's going to turn around for him. And maybe it was last night.
Yeah, let's hope so. Because it was jarring seeing his average at like 236 and 235 over the last few days. You know, it's been a rough May for him.
Christian Walker, I don't know if Baseball Reference updated their stats yet, because he's still at a 199 batting average.
He's down to 198 now. I'm looking at the box score for last night's game. He went 1-for-5 last night. Maybe 0-for-5. I forget what it was. He's down to 198, I think.
So at the very least.
Down a point.
Everybody. We're not going to put Christian Walker in until he's above 200.
Above the Mendoza line. That's right. Yeah. Got to be above the Mendoza line. So there's that. So the Astros this weekend have the Mariners for three more games. These are the pitching matchups. Ryan Gusto versus Emerson Hancock, who neither have put a huge imprint on their teams. Gusto's 3-2. He was bad his last time out, so he's trying to bounce back.
I feel good about this matchup.
I actually do, too.
Hancock's a guy. It's his third year in the league. He hasn't pitched a whole bunch. He's like a 4-plus ERA guy.
Yes.
For his career. Right now, he's 6-something, but he has only pitched like 29 innings.
Framber Valdez is pitching on Saturday against Wu, Brian Wu, who's 5-1 with a 2.65 ERA. Yeah, that's ace type numbers right now for Seattle. So that one if we're getting the Framber that we've been getting more of lately, Seth, that one should be a really good pitching matchup on Saturday. That might be one. Yeah. I think that game starts at maybe 6 o'clock. That's when you can make dinner plans at like 8:30 and feel like, oh, no, wait. Sorry, it's a 3:10 start. So you can make early dinner plans if you want.
On Saturday.
Yeah, on Saturday. Framber and Wu. And then it's TBD on Sunday. Neither team has announced who's starting on Sunday. If I had three wishes for this weekend, it would be that we get the version of Framber that we've been seeing more of lately, the one that's giving you quality starts, really good starts two starts ago, 8 innings, and then he gave you 7 innings last time out. I would say that version of Framber. I would say whoever is pitching on Sunday, because it's going to be one of these Colton Gordon, Brandon Walter characters probably, that they give you just enough to keep you in the game. I don't want to get greedy. Like, give us what you've been giving us in these starts. 4 or 5 innings that doesn't let the game get out of reach or out of control. And then my third one, Yordan. I want a Yordan return this week.
Oh, it'd be nice if Yordan came back on
Saturday.
That's
my wish, man.
Yes.
Genie, that is my wish. That's all
this
I
is
want.
Look, the Mariners are ahead of you in the standings right now, but they're not a team that their pitching is not as good as the Astros. Nice. The Astros, when healthy, were incredible. The bullpen's still healthy.
Yep.
And you didn't have to, even though you used 4 relievers last night, you didn't have to use your big guns. So these next 3 games are about as I've got as much wrapped up emotionally in these next 3 games as I possibly could this early in the season.
Yes.
Just because
it's
you're
a big series,
you're going up against it. This is very much like last year when, okay, man, you can really start looking like a different baseball team.
Yeah.
And doing it versus a good opponent.
Yep.
This could mean a lot.
These games count as 2 games right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you lose that game last night. You're down 4.5 games in the standings. You know, now you're 2.5 and again, it's early, but you don't want to be in the situation you were in last year. You're not going to come back from a 10-game deficit 2 years in a row the way that they stormed back last year. I just don't think this team has enough firepower to do it. You know, to storm back the way they did last year. So we've got that. We should congratulate Amen Thompson, first team All Defense in the NBA. That was good to see. Good to see him getting a little recognition. If we can get Victor Wembanyama abducted by aliens, I think Amen Thompson could be a defensive player of the year at some point in the future. The only reason Wemby didn't win that is because he had the blood clots. But that was cool to see. Amen Thompson, watching these playoffs, Seth, watching OKC and Minnesota, and I can't wait for the Pacers and the Knicks tonight on the heels of what happened 2 nights ago with that choke job by the Knicks. But Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is playing. He was named MVP earlier this week. He's playing like an MVP in this series. He scored something like 38 points last night, 12 of 21 from the field, got to the free throw line 15 times like he has been. You can debate whether or not the way he plays, his style is for you or not. There's a lot of flopping going on. He's a really good player. If the Rockets can improve next year the way that the Oklahoma City Thunder improved this year, maybe I'm not talking winning 68 games for the Rockets. They were the 2 seed already. But if they can improve to the degree that they're making deep runs in the playoffs, I am here for a 7-game series of Amen Thompson checking Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Yeah, that would be a good
super time. Fun.
Yeah,
super fun.
But I predict that we won't be happy with the officials.
A solid prediction.
Yeah, it's going to be annoying. The officials will end up being a huge discussion.
Yep. But watching those two go against each other, I mean, it's already fun in the regular season, but man, in a 7-game series, that chess match, that'll be fun.
So he ends up being the MVP.
Yes.
And did he buy anything nice?
He bought his teammates. Yeah, he got his teammates gift baskets. How about this? Now, he should be getting them gift baskets. When you're named MVP or first-team All-NBA, there's rules with the salary cap where all of a sudden you're guaranteed a certain percentage of the cap. He's in line to sign an extension, a Supermax, for $76 million a year. We're getting close to the $1 million per game, our first $1 million per game player. $76 million in OKC.
$76 million.
He should be buying gift baskets like this. He got his teammates each a gift basket with a Rolex watch, new iPhones. So that would be the iPhone 16, I believe. The latest Beats by Dre headphones. And then I'm probably going to be showing my age here, Canada Goose jackets, custom embroidered.
Those are nice. You would recognize one if you saw them. Whenever we go anywhere up north, it's they're those super warm looking coats with a goose on the. They've got like a goose logo of some sort on.
Oh, okay.
I wore my brother-in-law's once, and I felt like the cock of the walk. I did.
Oh yeah, these are nice. They're kind of the ones I'm looking at are kind of puffy. They're puffy jackets. Okay.
They're super warm. Incredibly warm.
Okay. I wouldn't get those if I was living in Houston for my teammates.
It wouldn't be worth it for Houston.
Yeah. When Alperen Şengün wins an MVP, I would suggest against the Canada Goose Jackets. But good job by Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Other than your flopping nature, I really, really like you. So there's that. And I'm excited to watch that this weekend. We have a texter saying, Seth, this goes back to Take a Mania at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
Our bad take of the week segment where Andrew Perloff of Infinity Sports Network has now held the title for 3 straight weeks with his take about Steph Curry's hamstring. Texter says you're going to have to put that Perloff take in the Hall of Fame to keep the segment going because it may never lose.
We're thinking about putting a cap on how long you can hold the current title and because we're going to have our end of the year tournament. And because honestly, I feel like Cataldi's, I don't know. If I hadn't gotten bored of it, it might still be the champion today.
Yeah.
So him calling Andy Reid an all-time fraud of American sports.
Yeah.
So I think 4 weeks might be the limit.
We need term limits. We need term limits on the champion of Take a Mania. Yeah.
Yeah.
4 weeks. So I think we're on 3 with Perloff right now.
Okay. Yeah. So we'll give him one more week and see if somebody can come up big this week.
Come on. We need you idiots out there to really start talking on social media over the next few days. Give us some material.
You and I are turning a little bit into like freezing cold takes where people like freezing cold takes became such a big account that I feel like he has to spend 4 hours a day sifting through all of the suggestions he gets from people.
He wrote a book.
We're obviously not on that level, and yet we get a lot of suggestions from people.
Yeah. So
keep forwarding it to us when you see something.
Yes. Yeah. These are freezing cold takes is usually when they look back with retrospect. This we need current ones that are relevant right now. So, yes, that's a good suggestion, Seth.
Crowdsource this.
Crowdsource it. It saves us
a lot of
work.
Between AI and crowdsourcing, I'm planning on only working 90 minutes a day sometime in the near future.
Same here. All right, Payne and Pendergast, guess who's here? In the loop is here. John Lopez, Reggie Atatula. Gentlemen, how are we feeling?
Hello, friends.
Feeling good?
Hello, friends. Don't say that to Ron Hughley. He's not a big Jim Nantz guy.
Yes,
you know that.
That is
I didn't pick up on that.
What's going on?
Astros? Actually, the question of the day has something to do with the broadcast.
Well, let's go.
And maybe Jim Nantz is your answer. I know it's not show's answer.
Okay.
And that is... Obviously, Around the Horns, final episode is today.
It's today, man. 21-year run over.
And I didn't give you a heads up on this one, so I want to get that immediate reaction. You did?
Yeah.
What broadcaster or sports show inspired your love for sports the most?
Yeah, I don't even need a heads up for that one. Like, my love for sports would be all the announcers I grew up
like play
listening
by play
to.
Guy.
Play-by-play. Yeah, yeah. The play-by-play guy for the Hartford Whalers, Chuck Caton.
Mm-hmm.
Hockey is a hard sport to do on the radio.
Oh, yeah. My goodness.
Hard sport to do. He was amazing. He's like the voice of my childhood. As far as my love for sports talk radio, an old guy by the name of Arnold Dean in Hartford, Connecticut, was the first sports talk show I ever listened to. It was an hour long on WTIC, our sister station up in Hartford, Connecticut. Mm-hmm. It's an Odyssey station. And I was a kid at like 11 years old, and I tuned in one. I was on at like 6:30 at night after dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, hold on. Because I was used to listening to music on the radio. Yeah. I'm like, wait, there's a format? I'm sure I didn't use that word at 11 years old.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, wow, I can listen to people talk about sports, and I can call in and talk to them. And I learned quickly that you can't call in if you sound like you're 11 years old.
I have a very similar story, but finish yours.
Yeah, so Arnold Dean, and then obviously, I mean, people who know my path into getting into mm-hmm. radio eventually, like Jim Rome. Was huge as a listener and as an influence in my career. So those are mine.
It's fueled our love for how specifically? For what?
Sports.
For
sports.
Just in general,
sports.
Sports.
Yeah. I guess I would have to put, the one I can remember the most is just Al Michaels because he was Monday Night Football through the age at which I started trying to stay up to watch Monday Night Football.
Mm-hmm.
It was Al Michaels. Like he was 86 through like 2000, like the 2005 or so.
Yeah.
Al Michaels.
Al Michaels is a good one. Keith Jackson.
Mm. Oh, big time.
Keith Jackson for college football, 100%.
Yeah.
So that's a good one too. I was a big baseball. Like baseball is my favorite sport as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
It's football now, but it was baseball back then. So the game of the week on NBC, we didn't have cable back in the 80s. We didn't get cable till like my senior year in high school.
Yeah.
Joe Garagiola and Tony Kubek on the game of the week on NBC. Those were made me love baseball.
And it's funny how you localize it, because one of the ones that clearly like not only influenced my love of sports, but basketball is a guy that nobody knows. Terry Stembridge.
I have no idea.
He was the play-by-play guy of the Dallas Chaparrals.
Was that an ABA team?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
And then when the Chaparrals moved to San Antonio and became the Spurs, he moved too and was the play-by-play guy of the Spurs.
Oh.
And, you know, that's the only way I could, you know, we didn't go to a lot of games.
Yeah,
other than this, so we listened to him. And speaking of talk shows, their post-game show was call-in.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just call-in. And I was 10, 11, 12
you
years
called?
Old. You called? Oh, all the time.
That's always like a real boomer bust possibility, because it's either that the kid is just going to stumble
like
over himself
gold.
And not doing anything, or he's like great for his age.
Did you have good takes?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe.
Enough to not get kicked off the air.
But I know Terry Stembridge was like, he got to actually go, oh, John. He goes, John, he would call me Johnny. Johnny.
Yeah.
That's how old were you when you were calling in?
Maybe, let's see, the ABA moved in 73, so 11, 10, 11?
Yeah, that's about when I was calling Arnold Dean, and they would say, you need to be 18, and I would be like, I am 18!
And I often wonder if my...
never know.
I often wonder if my love for basketball would have even been close to the same if not for Terry Stembridge.
The voice that's the narrator for all those memories is a big deal. I'm curious, Reggie's, just because you're... You know, you're younger than we are. I'm curious who yours are.
And that's what I was thinking of, because you guys have, like, broadcasters, but I feel like kind of we get more into, like, analysis and stuff as we get closer to now.
Yeah.
And I guess this was still kind of reporter, but you get into that, like, access into players. Inside stuff with Ahmad Rashad.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
That was the one for me.
Okay.
Like,
along?
And it was... Can you imagine the moment for a kid who was just like, yo, I love basketball. Ahmad Rashad takes me into these places where I get to understand these players, to find out that dude was cold at football. I had no idea. I was like, wait,
he could play.
Cold as hell? What?
Yeah, Ahmad Rashad. Bobby Moore.
Ahmad
Rashad.
Oregon.
He was a good football player, man, for the Minnesota Vikings, for sure. Along those lines, this week in baseball.
Oh, big time.
This Mel Allen. This week in baseball. You know who one of mine was, too?
How about that?
This week in baseball, because we didn't, again, there was no internet. The only games I watched were the in-market games with the Red Sox and the Yankees, and then we get the game of the week. Mm-hmm. And the only way I would know about guys like Andre Dawson playing in Montreal was on This Week in Baseball.
We would do it on the playground in elementary school. How about that?
Well, I'll tell you another one real quick. God, I feel I could do this all day long.
Yeah.
Harry Callis, Todd Callis's dad.
Oh, wow.
Was the voice of Notre Dame basketball. Mm-hmm. And so that was a big one for me, too. And Todd sounds so much like his dad.
He does.
Like it's crazy how much he sounds
the other
like
one,
his
sorry, dad. I know we're kind of digging in here, but you'll appreciate this because I've never really been a Notre Dame fan.
Yeah.
But every Sunday morning.
Oh, yeah, Lindsey Nelson.
Every Sunday morning. It was the only college football I could get on a Sunday.
Yeah.
Lindsey and
highlights.
It's a touchdown.
Right. It wasn't even a live game. It was highlights, right?
Yeah. That's but crazy. He would talk about it, too. So that was kind of the talk show element.
Yeah.
And it's a touchdown. That's another one that I always said on the playground.
How about that? All right. So we will seed control of the show. I could stay here and talk old announcers all day long.
Hey, well, 10:40.
You got hot takes to get into here. Seth, have a great weekend, my friend. We're in on Monday, by the way. We're in on Monday, Seth.
Yes.
It's a long
we'll
weekend.
We'll be here.
We will be here.
Everybody have a great Memorial Day weekend.
Yes.
Though.
Have a great Memorial Day weekend, Seth. Antibodies to you, my friend.
Antibodies, and as we mourn the loss of the penny, which will stop being produced next year in America.
Yeah. So going to hoard them all.
I know everybody's going to miss them.
If you want to
miss
penny,
all your pennies.
You have to come through me. I'm going to be hoarding every penny I get. Just like usual.
Enjoy them while you got them.
Yep.
That's what I say.
Smoke them while you got them.
Put it on a railroad track while you got them.
That's it. Those silly machines. All right. We are done. We're out of time. You're listening to KLT AM, KLT FM HD2, Houston, an Odyssey Sports Station.